Tango Tango Papa 2080, November 19, 2021.
Have we seen the actual reality of a monstrous crime? Or merely an illusion, the product of a tortured brain?
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening. Tom Wiles here with you, coming to you this afternoon from Percival, Iowa. So I have been back at work, I guess, a little bit over a week. I recorded the last podcast right before I went home the last time to take time off, and so the one appointment that I had while I was home was the 1 month post-op appointment for the cataract surgery. And what she told me, she told me that overall, and I kind of suspected this, overall I'm 20/20, you know, with both eyes, and that's more or less what I expected. And so everything seems to be going along very well. I'm seeing well at distance and intermediate, and amazingly well enough close up, and because of the multifocal lenses. And so the one dysphotopsia, or kind of a positive dysphotopsia that I see, or something that isn't there, is the rings around certain lights, not all lights, it's just certain lights. And even the, I've even narrowed it down a little bit farther at night, and it has to do sometimes with the intensity, but I think it's mostly the angle. I think it does the intensity of the light does matter, but also the angle of the light. Because if I'm, let's say I'm walking across a parking lot and I see a light, let's say it's a brake light or some sort of a light on a truck, like a marker light that they leave on while the truck is parked, and I'm walking and I notice that, if I see the rings as I walk across the, let's say I walk across a parking lot and I'm looking, at some point the rings will disappear because the angle of the light changes. So, but that's the only thing that I see, and that's not on all lights, and it's, and I don't find it bothersome at all. And, that's well worth being able, to have that one side effect. It's a great trade-off to be able to see close up, intermediate, and distance without any glasses. No reading glasses. it's amazing. And with enough light, I can see very, very tiny, let's say tiny print or whatever. That's pretty amazing. So that's going well. The next appointment is set for about a little over 3 months from now, or it's the 3 month, because they do it at 3 months. And so that's, I'll be doing that at 3 months, and then have another update then as far as that goes. But otherwise, that the post cataract surgery, things are going great. Not really experiencing any kind of dry eye issues. Because sometimes people get cataract surgery and they may be borderline dry eye, and the cataract surgery is kind of enough to sort of push them over the edge, to where they have kind of more dry eye type symptoms. And as I've said before, dry eye is not simply a lack of tears or lack of lubrication. The real dry eye is more of an inflammation type of reaction on the surface of the eye. And so in any case, that's all going well. So, like I say, I've been back at work for a little over a week. And so what I've decided, my vacation starts on the 16th of December. That's when I'm taking, you know, I usually take my 3 weeks, I guess. 3 weeks worth of vacation at the end of the year. So I'm off, starts on December the 16th, and then I go back to work on January the 4th. So what I've decided to do, you know, in the past couple of years, I came home, you know, I've came home, let's say towards the end of November, and then, take several days off and then go back to work, and then come back home, you know, like only after like a week and a half to 2 weeks, you know, like begin the vacation on the 16th. So this time I've decided I'm just going to end up staying out maybe a week or two more than I normally would. But so I'm, you know, today's the 19th at this point. I've already been back at work a little over a week. And so I'm going to just stay, you know, not go home toward at the end of the month, the end of November, beginning of December, and just wait and go home, to begin the vacation on the December the 16th. So, you know, that should work out just fine. So, in any case, the weather's kind of turned a little cold, but I guess it is November now, so I guess that's to be expected. Right now, like I said, I'm at Percival, Iowa. I delivered a load in Lincoln, Nebraska this morning, and then I picked up a load at Waverly, which is just outside of Lincoln. And that load is a two-drop load. The first part delivers on the 21st. So that would be Sunday morning at 5:30 a.m. in Springfield, Missouri. Part of that comes off there, and then the other part goes to Oklahoma City on the same day, you know, on the 21st, you know, basically whenever I get it there. And, you know, so I don't know. They haven't sent any loads after that, but you know, so in any case, that's, staying as busy as I possibly can, and kind of running into the limit on the hours of service. So, you know, that was kind of par for the course. So I did notice after I uploaded the last podcast that the feed was broken. There was a problem, and so I've been attempting to get that fixed. And who's calling me? Nope, don't answer that. That's a junk call. Probably try calling back. What was I talking about? Oh, the feed. I did notice that it was broken, and so I've been attempting to get it fixed. So what I'm doing is, for a long time now, the files themselves have been hosted on Blueberry. You know, it's a podcast hosting service, and so the files themselves have been hosted on Blueberry, and, you know, of course, the WordPress blog was on GoDaddy, okay, and along with the domain name truckertompodcast.com. Well, I needed, what I'm doing now, and I think it's successful at this point, moved the The WordPress blog is now hosted completely on Blueberry along with the files. But in the meantime, I had a problem getting the name server changed from, because the domain name is through GoDaddy, and I, you know, for some, whatever reason, it's probably my own fault. Whenever I, way back whenever I set up TruckerTomPodcast.com, I had an email address. It was TomWiles@mailblocks.com. MAILBLOCKS. And so, and I had that for a while, and it was actually a nice email service. But the problem was GoDaddy bought it out. GoDaddy bought out mailblocks.com and kind of did away with it. As, a lot of these, there's been a lot of companies over the years that, tech type companies that have services on the internet that, some other big company buys them out. And typically they end up just kind of doing away with them. And that's what happened to Mailblocks. And so, but in any case, when I bought the TruckerTomPodcast.com domain, that was my primary email address, and apparently I never did change it. And so, when I went to change the name servers to the Blueberry hosting, it wouldn't let me do it. It kept saying, "Well, we've added this extra layer of security. We're sending, and we're sending an email to TomWiles@mailblocks.com." Well, there is no TomWiles@mailblocks.com. Mailblocks.com, if you try to, go to that, you end up at Yahoo, and there's nothing there. There's no email service or anything. It's just, Yahoo owns the domain name, and, there's no service there. So in order to get, I had to go through this, I had to go through this process to get them, kind of change that. So it's finally, that finally got changed so that I could send it to, my Gmail address, TomWiles@gmail.com. And so now it's come, so I was able to successfully do that this afternoon. And so it sent me an email, security email. Then I sent the, typed in the password, and I was actually able at that point to type in the correct name servers. And now if I go to my website, TruckerTomPodcast.com, it goes to the Blueberry hosted WordPress. And so everything should be working again. I'll test it out and see, but I think everything should be working again. I'm not exactly sure what happened with the WordPress site on that was hosted by GoDaddy. I don't know what happened, because nothing really changed unless they updated something, I don't know what happened with it, but for whatever reason it wasn't working. It was working, and then all of a sudden it just kind of quit, and without any reason why, and the other thing, partially I had, and I, this is going to be changed as well, I was still using FeedBurner. So FeedBurner, some of the, like Apple Podcasts, I think, was pointing at the FeedBurner site, or for the FeedBurner feed, rather, that was, that FeedBurner feed was pointed at the GoDaddy, the actual WordPress feed. RSS feed. So, but whatever it was, it I don't know what happened. But in any, I know Google, of course, owns FeedBurner and has for a number of years, and they sort of really neglected it, and I think they really would just rather sort of do away with it. And I think that's probably what's going to end up happening eventually. Google. If you remember back a few years ago, when RSS was, there was a period where you had all these RSS readers, and RSS was actually great because you could It's a great idea because all these different blogs and different sites would have RSS feed addresses, and you could just type, you know, put that in your list and in your feed and or your RSS feed reader, and you had a, you know, kind of a tailor-made news source. Basically, you could set it up as your own news source, and anytime anybody posted something new, it would just pop up at the top. But Google, you know, more or less, Google decided they wanted rid of RSS. They didn't like it. It was, I think it was interfering with, certainly it was interfering with news organizations. Somebody decided they didn't like it and they were going to kill it, and they pretty much did. Except you still have RSS feeds for podcasts. They haven't been able to, you know, kind of kill that off. But you still have RSS feeds for podcasts, and you still have some of the podcast aggregators, even with the broken feed. I tested it while the feed was broken, and I've got a couple of podcast apps on my phone, and both of those were showing the latest episodes. So may not even be using RSS anymore. I don't know. So, but some things are, and. But in any case, should be working now. And if it's not, it should begin shortly, I would think. So, you know, but it's, you know, that I don't know exactly what went wrong, but hopefully, now it's fixed. Let's hope. I'll be playing with it to see. But I've been pretty busy, and I just don't have a whole lot of time to kind of really mess with this stuff. You know, I've been busy either driving or sleeping, and that's more or less kind of how it works. So if things, it's looking like the vaccine is not going to happen. You know, it's not, you know, because the government. The OSHA, the Occupational Safety Health Administration, was blocked by a court from implementing the so-called emergency rule. And they weren't going to, you know, my company came out with a message saying that they had talked to whoever and that was not going to apply to solo drivers like me. You know, I'm considered a solo truck driver, and so that wasn't going to apply. Anyway, but it's been struck down. But now some companies, certain companies for other types of jobs may try to still require it as a condition of employment. But, you know, if they do, it's to their detriment because there's a ton of people out here that will not take it. And I can tell you, I will not do it. There's a couple of reasons in particular, but I won't do it. You know, one of the reasons, and you may say, well, this is frivolous or whatever, but some of those, the vaccines have been tested on 40-year-old fetal stem cells that were harvested as a result of an abortion. Okay, now people say, oh, it's 40 years old. The Pope said it was okay. It's 40 years. Get over it. At 40 years old, who cares? They're just cells. Well, when does the statute of limitations run out on murder? I don't think it does. I don't think the statute of limitations, you can't murder someone and then have the statute of limitations run out. It doesn't run out. You know, just imagine that, you know, and you can say, well, oh, it's 40 years ago, whatever. Not worry about it. But that would be a 40-year-old person right now. Whoever stem cells that they're using to test these vaccines and other products on, that would be a 40-year-old human being at this point. But it's not. Because he was murdered. He or she was murdered. In the womb. You know, and they're trying to turn a wrong into a right. And say, oh, well, something good came out of this bad, bad situation. Yeah, it was a bad situation, all right. Murder. So that's one thing. That's one problem. The other problem is, I don't think it's such a great idea to be tweaking with my immune system. You know, you have this idea, oh, well, we'll give you the vaccine, and, you know, it's going to first they said, oh, it's going to prevent you from getting COVID. Well, that's obviously not working. Gibraltar, you know where Gibraltar is? Gibraltar has 100% vaccine rate. And yet they've got a big spike of COVID cases. Same way with Ireland. Ireland's got like a 90, either an 80-something or a 90-something percent vaccine rate, and they've got a huge spike in cases. So I think it has something to do. I don't know. It's possible. I was talking to one of my sister-in-laws, and she thinks that some of the vaccinated people are the super spreaders. And I, you know, I think that might be possible, that they might be. But I don't think it's such a great idea to be trying to tweak your immune system. Now, maybe most people, maybe the majority of people can get away with it. But if, you know, and I know from personal experience, food screws up my immune system. You know, as I've said before, for, you know, going way back to about 1990. Yeah. About 1990 or 1991. Well, now, wait a minute. Thinking of something. Yeah, it is. Yeah, it would be. Going all that way back, that's when I first developed a problem with cracked foot. You know, crack on my heel. You know, and that was eczema. It was diagnosed as eczema, however it's pronounced. And that's basically a really dry skin reaction. And then like an autoimmune response to the dry skin. You know, so it's really cracked and dry and can become extremely inflamed and painful, very painful. And it's basically an autoimmune response. I've been on this diet now for coming up on 3 years. December the 6th, it'll have been 3 years since I've been on this keto or low-carb diet. And not long after I went on this diet, the heels of my feet are pretty much healed. The eczema is gone. Now, why? The only thing I changed was my diet. Prior to that, going all the way back to about 1991, I had dealt with cracked feet, especially in the winter. Cracked heel. Like I say, it could be very painful. At one point, if you remember, I even ended up with a bacterial infection. I had to take an antibiotic to get rid of it. Otherwise, I would have ended up with blood poisoning. It's gone. Why? Because I changed my diet. I think it was there's some sort of an antigen, probably in the grain. you know, and they make the flour, you know, because I would eat pasta, quite a bit of pasta and bread and things like that. So it was in the grain. And there's different antigens just in food. Antigen being something that irritates your immune system. But it can cause, what can end up happening, it causes your immune system to become confused and then attack your body, because your body is using these elements, it's using these to make proteins, you know, and they're not quite right, and then depending on your immune system, it recognizes the elements are traveling around in your immune system. It recognizes these building blocks that have been used as foreign invaders, and it attacks. And I really think that's the smoking gun behind a lot of autoimmune issues. So if that can happen just from something that you eat, just imagine what would happen, what could happen, and what does happen, I believe, when you inject something into your bloodstream. You know, you make a modification that you can't take away. Can't undo it. Once you've done it, you can't undo it. And, you know, if you aren't, you know, there's a lot of people that have buried their heads in the sand and they think, well, it's, you know, nothing's 100% and there will be side effects. Some people are going to have side effects, you know, too bad for those particular people. But the vast majority are going to be okay. You know, it's going to help the vast majority. They'll, you know, they may end up getting COVID anyway, but if they do, they'll probably live. It's going to help them, either help them stay out of the hospital, or it'll help them, you know, keep them off the ventilator and keep them from dying. You know, that's the rationalization now. But there are people, you know, you go digging, you know, and there are people that, you know, they took the first dose, and the first dose maybe had some little weird reactions. Maybe they did, maybe they didn't. But then they take the second dose, and some of those people, all hell broke loose, and they have all these weird autoimmune type symptoms. And it's not necessarily that they're dying, but they have these really debilitating symptoms. Now, do I honestly think that if I took the vaccine that I would end up with these symptoms? Probably not. I would probably be okay. But my conscience is telling me don't take it. My gut is saying don't take it. And so therefore I'm not, and I won't. Come hell or high water, I will not take it. Any version of it, no matter who tries to cajole me into it, like my mother has been, you know, multiple times has tried to manipulate me into doing it. Actually, me and then my youngest brother and his wife won't do it either, you know, and she tries. Gotta give her kudos for trying. She's tried. But, she's hitting her head against a brick wall with me, and I think with my youngest brother. Now, the middle brother, you know, of course he took it, you know, and that's his business. So, you know, if he wants, you know, and that's true with anybody. If you want to take the vaccine, go right ahead. I'm just saying that I ain't doing it. And you can say, well, you know, I'm brainwashed or whatever. Well, maybe I could turn that right around and, you know, the people that have taken it and say, you're brainwashed. You know, you want to start accusing people of being brainwashed. You know, I was not I've never been inclined to take, like flu vaccines and all, you know, and I've had over the years, I've had people say, oh, you should take the flu vaccine so you don't get the flu.
I don't get the flu anyway. You know? You know, and then of course, then they, oh, well, we had the tetanus vaccine. You know, tetanus, tetanus and polio. They love to bring up polio. Of course, that would, the polio vaccine was, it took them 13 years to develop that vaccine. And it, yes, it was a good vaccine. It still is. It was a very successful vaccine. But it was 13 years in development. It wasn't, oh, here it is, wham, bam, thank you, ma'am, here's the thing. And by the way, it's an experiment on the population. A forced, you know, they're trying to make it a forced experiment on the population. So, but I was talking to a friend about, you know, and it's an interesting topic, you know, the topic of belief. You know, believing, let's say believing in God. And I think that believing in God is sort of you could say that's kind of an ultimate belief. Or, conversely, you know, someone says they believe in atheism. Okay, because that's a belief as well. It's actually a religion as well, or can become. But, you know, you say, you know, you really, if you really honestly examine the word, and it's true with most words, but certainly the word belief, what does it mean to believe? Especially, what does it mean to believe in God? And that's a tricky word. It's a trick. It's kind of, you think you know what the concept is, but it's kind of tricky, really. So in order to really know, you know, because you can say all day long you believe in this and you believe in that and you believe in the flag and believe in, you know, whatever it is. What does that really mean? So in order to, you know, really back up belief, you have to look at behavior. Behavior is the ultimate test of belief. Behavior is really, when it comes down to it, behavior is the ultimate test of faith. But if you really do believe something, then you act on it. You know, it could be something in the physical world, or, you know, but we're talking about when we start talking about belief, things like belief and faith, those are completely spiritual ideas, and that there's no physical aspect to them. They all occur within the mind, within the consciousness. Another thing I've been thinking about, you know, why, you know, of course I've always had this question, why do we exist, or why do I exist, why am I here? What does existence mean? What's the point of it? You know, and it's a quite an interesting thing, and I think really when it comes right down to it, so far the solution that I've come to is that obviously I exist, and obviously other people exist as well, but we're talking about me right now. I exist. And as a conscious entity, you know, being conscious, being aware of my own existence, as well as not just believing in God. I know there's a God, and I can't explain how I know that, or even how I got to this point. But for the past, you know, a number of years ago, I just all of a sudden I realized it was like it snuck up on me. You know, it was not just a matter of believing or saying that I believe. It was a matter of knowing. And that there's a profound difference, actually, between the two things. You know, and as I say, once you know something, then it changes the way you actually behave. Changes your behavior. Changes the way you act. So I, you know, but in any case, you know, you ask questions like, you know, people say, well, what, you know, they pray, you know, and what is a prayer? Pray for this and pray for that. Pray for a car. Pray for rain. And I do think that, you know, the spoken word is very important. The spoken word is extremely important, and it's you've got to be careful with the words. I think it's really important, and I've thought this for a long time. Got to be very careful with your words. And some things you just don't say. You know, sometimes people will just say things really freely, and there are certain things that, you know, I won't utter. You know, now you can say, oh, you're superstitious or whatever, but I think that, I think there's more to it than that. But words really are important. I was, listening to this, it was a Jordan Peterson speech that he gave at a, or it was a lecture or speech that he gave at a college, and he made the point about, it was about free speech, but he was saying that speech is the most social form of thought. And if you think about that, that's actually true. Speech is the most social form of thought. So, it is important what we say. What we say is very important. But, you know, what we say is actually, you know, could be construed as a prayer as well. Whether we think we're, you know, this is the prayer, and, you know, you're nodding your head or whatever. Well, what about when you're just talking? You know, and speech is also one of the ways, and a really important way, speech and the written word are ways that we actually think. We may think that we think silently, you know, kind of in our own head, but, speech, you know, speaking to other people, carrying on conversations with other people, actually is a form of thought, because, you know, and because the thought process is going on to make the speech, as well as the same thing happens with writing. You know, I find that writing enables me to kind of really clarify my own thinking. But, you know, I think that, I believe that, we're really, as human beings, as conscious entities, as a conscious entity, I want to be as conscious as I possibly can. And, you know, there was another thing that Jordan Peterson said, and let me see, I wrote it down. Where are we at here? Human beings, what he said was, human beings are insufficient embodiments of our own ideals. So we as human beings are insufficient embodiments of our own ideals. And I think that's true. You know, where do our ideals come from? Well, you know, in the past I've talked about, you know, you can think of, in a sense, you can kind of think of God, you know, conscience, as sort of a blueprint. You know, that there's the idea of a circle, you know, and you can have the idea of a perfect circle. And so the idea of a perfect circle is perfect. You can try to represent a perfect circle in the real world, but it's never going to be quite perfect. So in the same way, you have ideals about spiritual things, such as, you know, morality, behavior, those sorts of things. How should I live? How should I behave? How should I interact with other human beings? There are the ideals, and then how do we as human beings embody those ideals? And I think that's really the goal that we should have, and the goal that I have is to become a more perfect, you know, kind of an ever more perfect embodiment, try to perfectly embody the, you know, and it's not even really try, let's change that word, allow the ideals to sort of, you know, embody me, basically. That's really a better way of putting it. Sort of get my own wrong side of my own ego out of the way in order to allow a more perfect version of those ideals to spring forth. Into this existence. That's really a better way of thinking about it. So, anyway, I've got a voice file from Joel that I've had for, well, it was fairly shortly after the last podcast, so it's at least a couple of weeks old. In any case, here is Joel.
Hey, Tom, it's Joel. Once again, just thought I'd give you a yell. And something I've been kind of thinking about, but especially, I know your stance on mainstream media. I kind of have the same stance for the most part. I hardly watch any of it. Unless I happen to watch a clip here and there. I don't purposely sit down to watch the news at all. All right. But it's just something I thought about since, when I was watching, I was flipping around on Netflix trying to find something to watch, and I noticed they brought the show Major Dad, that was a show in probably early 90s back on, it's on Netflix now. The whole entire series. And I was watching that, and I don't know how much of the show, if you've ever watched it when you were younger back then, but it's a major in the Marines, a career Marine for the most part, and he happens upon this journalist in an interview for a newspaper or something to that effect, ends up falling in love with her and then marries her, and now he's got kids and all that. That's why he's a major dad. So, but Polly Cooper, Polly McGillis, whichever you want to call her, she was the lady that was the journalist and his wife. And there's an episode of that where, probably in the first season, I think, where she gets arrested because she wouldn't divulge her source or something. I forget the whole story of that. But for the most part, though, in the rest of the series, you can kind of see where our news media kind of comes from. These journalists, especially the ones that are around today, are all, they're a lot less about telling the news and more about, you know, they want to make a difference in the world, all right? Last I checked, the journalist wasn't supposed to change the world. They were supposed to talk about it and do so in a fair manner. That has, for the most part, gone away, especially if you look at any of the stuff. You know, these are all reasons why we don't watch the news anymore. But one, I wonder if you've seen the show, and two, I think of an excellent example of what journalists shouldn't be. The show itself is pretty entertaining. But just for me, shows in a nonfiction setting why, especially conservatives, have a problem with this stuff. It's like another show I watch. This is I do watch very few actual TV shows. One of the ones I watch is The Good Doctor, and this season is pretty good too. The series itself is essentially about a surgeon who's on the autism spectrum, but he's a brilliant surgeon, right? And that show, first off, it's has a very liberal leaning anyway, but it has kind of some of the same feelings in that show to me. There was an episode, like the latest episode, was about they had a Asian guy who was, you know, an older Asian gentleman who was pushed off a curb and broke his jaw. Okay, well, ends up there. That's not all that's wrong with this guy too. He ends up through getting the surgery and stuff to fix his jaw, and they found out he has cancer, all right, in his brain. And in that show, at the very beginning of that part of the show, his daughter, who was an activist, was like, "You should call the police." And her dad's like, no, I don't need that. And that's kind of what's missing from people's mentality today. Everyone has to be a victim. That's something I don't get. You know, it's very kind of frustrating there that you see that all the time. You know, people have forgotten that of all things, the first things we are, especially for citizens, is American. You know, I don't know about you, but I don't call myself now. See, my background is German, English, German and English primary. Oh, and Irish, of course, with a good name like McLaughlin. All right. But I don't call myself an Irish American or an English American. I just call myself an American. You know, and ironically, they chose Asians because this show actually, the show itself, The Good Doctor, actually, this is the Americanized version of it, and it's on, I forget what network it's on, but in the original show was from Korea. So, it's you know, the liberal stuff in it is actually not that horrible, so you don't really have to, you know, you can kind of ignore a lot of that. And they don't really make a big deal about it either. Like, one of the characters, it's one of those things where with this show that they actually have, as the show's gone on, they've changed the cast up here and there. And I don't think it's because the show's not working. It's just because that's the story. It's one of those shows that you pretty much want to watch from beginning to end. Or, you know, as every new episode comes out, you want to watch it. And you may end up missing it. It's not as bad as, like, there's a show, a sci-fi show from the 90s called Babylon 5, which one of those days I hope that hits streaming, and then I can binge watch that. Because I've watched pieces, parts of that, but it's one of those shows that's pretty much made for binge watching. And if you miss an episode or two, you're lost. But The Good Doctor, it's a good show, but it really highlights kind of some of the differences and why Hollywood is just like that, you know. And, you know, one of these days, hopefully the tide's turning on some of that, you know, because one of the things that we did this week is we had an election. Wasn't really an important election in a lot of areas, but one thing I was glad of in my area, our House of Representatives seat was up because Steve Stivers, which I didn't even know was in his district again, but he is one of my favorite politicians in Ohio. And I originally voted for when he went into office the first time, but it was before redistricting, and he did live in where my old place was in that district. They rearranged that, and now that's Joyce Beatty, I think. I forget her name. The Republican won there. Republican won in Georgia, or not Georgia, I'm sorry, Virginia. So McAuliffe's out there in Virginia. And right now I'm not certain who won in New Jersey yet, but that's a shocker there. In New Jersey, the Democrat was pretty much slated to win. They were expecting them to win, but the Republicans really giving them a good fight. And I think it's going to a recount probably, but you know, so that wasn't the only thing there. During the Virginia gubernatorial election, they were calling Youngkin, who was the guy who won, racist and stuff because he supported Donald Trump and all that. And yet, in his administration, let's see, his lieutenant governor that ran with him is a conservative black woman who's a 2A advocate. I think the attorney general for Georgia was a conservative Asian, I think, or something like that. I'm probably have the races wrong there. But Virginia, of all the conservatives that won at the state level, it's pretty much the most diverse group of people. You know, it's exactly what the left wants. Unless you don't believe in what they believe. So, but anyway, there's some good talking points there. Hopefully you're doing well. Hopefully your cataract surgery is well. I know you're back, but, just hopefully, you're doing well, and we'll talk to you later. At you later.
Thank you, Joel. Yeah, so both of those TV shows that you mentioned, Major Dad as well as The Good Doctor, I've heard of them, but I've actually never watched either one of them. Now, there's a similar one that I you know, I've watched some of the episodes, and actually I've kind of, it is streaming, and I'm watching it from time to time. As you remember, House MD, you know, now I don't know that, you know, House really wasn't you know, he wasn't portrayed as autistic or anything, but he was really abrasive, and he, you know, he's like really flawed personality, except that he was just an unbelievably good doctor. You know, and he's always kind of getting in trouble or whatever. So I've watched some of those episodes, and you know, and then, but they are on streaming, and I guess that show is on quite a few seasons. So I periodically watch a few of those episodes. But it sounds like that The Good Doctor, probably once that's available streaming, I'll probably you know, put that on the list and watch it, because it sounds like it would be kind of similar. Now, of course, you know, when you watch shows like this, the medical things, they, you know, a lot of times those are a stretch, you know, because those are just like the House MD thing. A lot of the stuff, the medical stuff that they had on there was just, you know, like stuff that almost never happens in the real world. You know, and here they're portraying, oh, it happens just all the time to Dr. House. You know, like it's all these really weird cases, you know, so. But in any case, and then sometimes the procedures that they go through are, you know, bass-ackwards. So, but, you know, it's entertainment. It's not, you know, the real world, they can't really put the real world on an entertainment, because the real world just is, typically it's too boring, unless, you know, now with the exception, you know, you have people that have their YouTube channels, and, you know, in order to have a really interesting YouTube channel, if someone's got, you know, they've got their ordinary thing going on, in order to be, just to remain interesting, they've got to have lots of drama. And some people are, you know, if you have a real drama queen that's also, you know, is hosting their own YouTube channel, if you've got a real drama queen going on, then, you know, sort of a drama queen existence, then that can be kind of interesting for, you know, sometimes, I guess, it, you know, kind of holds the audience. But, in any case, that'll give me something to watch at some point once you know the show's over and it's no longer a current show, then I'll just, you know, kind of wait and you know, wait till it's on streaming. And it's probably already partially there. I don't know what network it's on. I have Hulu, Hulu Plus or whatever. So, you know, I may go back and start watching those if I run out of things to watch or I get bored with whatever, you know, because I don't watch that much. It just kind of depends. But, I, you know, that'll, yeah, it's probably available on Hulu. So that's, you know, I can kind of, now that you've mentioned that, I can check that out at some point. So, what you have to understand, and it goes back, you know, when I was talking about belief. You know, you say, liberals say, well, I believe in this, and I believe in that, and I believe in diversity, and I believe in, you know, and there's these things that they put forward that they believe in, but, you can't go by what they say they believe in. You have to go by their actions. What do their actions reveal? Their actions are saying the opposite. Their actions, the way they actually behave, is typically exactly the opposite of what they say they believe in. You know, that you were talking about the black woman, the black conservative woman that won in Virginia. And at first they were just ignoring that, just ignoring it. And, you know, and then some of them did see, a headline somewhere where someone was trying to, they figured out a way of saying that white people voting for the black conservative woman in Virginia, they twisted it around, you know, somebody twisted it around in a piece or two that they wrote that, you know, where it was racist. That the white people that voted for the black conservative woman in Virginia were actually racists because they voted for the black conservative woman. Which, that's insane on its face. It's insanity. But that's how they rationalize things. But you can't go by what people say they believe. You got to look at behavior. You must look at behavior, and that includes people that say they believe in God. What is their actual behavior? You know, the behavior kind of reveals all. So, you know, I know a lot of crazy crap is going on still, and it's probably going to get crazier. I think it will. Particularly, as I talked in the last podcast, particularly in the media. But in the real world, where most people live, if you turn all of that stuff off, and you just exist in the real world and you have your daily existence is pretty stable. At least my daily existence is, you know, it's the same today as it was yesterday and the day before, etc., etc. Really doesn't change much. Generally speaking, people are very courteous. I'd say the one difference is people don't, you know, they tend not to stand, you know, if you're waiting in line, and most people aren't wearing masks, and most of the places I go, there's no masks or very few. If someone wants to wear a mask, that's fine. I have no problem with it. But the one thing I have noticed, people aren't, even if they're not wearing masks, they're kind of not, you know, kind of getting up in each other's space. Not standing as close in line. And I actually appreciate that. And I think that's probably the biggest thing with the, you know, like a respiratory virus, which COVID is actually a respiratory virus. The biggest thing is to, you know, if you're gonna get it, it's gonna be through, you know, breathing someone else's breath that is infected. Now that's one concession I'll make to the mask. You know, let's say someone's wearing a mask and they're breathing out or coughing out or whatever. If they're coughing into their, you know, into a mask, or they're even coughing into their arm or coughing into their hand or whatever, or a napkin or, you know, Kleenex or whatever, then even if they're breathing out, the breath is going out the sides and it's not coming directly forward. So, you know, that might make it less likely, you know, if someone's infected and they're breathing out high volumes of virus particles straight out, and then you breathe them in, yeah, you're probably going to get a dose of it. You know, but that's really the only case. And so, but basically, if you just stay back, you know, and that includes, you know, back from the sides. Let's say that somebody's wearing a mask and they're infected and they're breathing and comes out the side, and you're standing next to the side of them, and you happen to breathe it in. Well, you know, you're going to get infected anyway. So just stand back, you know. And so that's one thing I actually like, is that people are kind of more, you know, you can say, well, they're more standoffish, but, you know, that is a behavior, you know. Once a behavior like that's established, where you don't get as close to people, you know, then it almost becomes an unconscious thing where you don't even really need to think about it anymore. You just naturally kind of stand back. And actually, I think that's a good thing, because that not only COVID, but there are other viruses, cold viruses and other types of things that might be transmitted. And so, you know, that's makes it less likely. But as I said, otherwise, people are, you know, in the real world, you know, and I can't help myself, I've always observed people. In the real world, people are pretty courteous. That includes black people and Asian people and whoever else. But what goes on in the media is insanity. And I think that people often are looking for some sort of drama. Because that's, you know, the news is really, to a large extent, and I've said this for a long time, it's just sort of glorified gossip. You know, and so people will, and you know, so if you have some, you know, gossip, you know, sometimes people will twist gossip around in order to damage other people. So it's just it's kind of an extension of what can go wrong in a, you know, let's say in an organization of people, some sort of a, you put people together and you end up with these kind of things. And I'm not saying it's right, but we need to kind of guard against that as much as possible. And you really you have to start with yourself and examine your own behavior, examine your own motives. Because you can, you know, how in the world can you straighten someone else out before you straighten yourself out? You can't. You really must be honest with yourself. Above all else. Because if you can't be honest with yourself, then by definition, you can't be honest with other people. You know, I think I posted something on Facebook to the effect that if you if you lie to yourself, then by definition, you know, you're going to end up lying to other people. So we really have to concentrate on ourselves first. You know, and then the people around us. And it's not something that you just concentrate on, well, I'll do it today and then that's it. You know, then I'm fixed. No, it doesn't work that way. You know, kind of going back to what I was talking about previously, as conscious entities, it's really necessary for us to be aware of our own behavior, but you know, just be aware without being, you know, spend some period of time being aware on a regular basis, being aware of our own awareness. Practice not being distracted. Because I really do believe that whatever ideals that exist for us as human beings, we don't come up with ourselves. We're not the authors, as much as we'd like to think we are, we're not the authors of our own ideals. We have a choice. So, anyway, I think I'm going to bring this to a close. Now it's what time is it? What time does that say it is? 5:31. 5:32. Yep. 5:32 p.m. So I've got, I'm hanging out here at Percival, Iowa. And then tomorrow I've got about, a little over 300 miles. I'm going to Springfield, Missouri. I have to be there at 5:30 a.m. Sunday morning. So I'll go to a truck stop and then kind of hang out and then get up really early so I can be at this grocery warehouse by 5:30 a.m. and then on Sunday to unload, but they don't allow any kind of overnight parking, so I'll have to park at one of the truck stops that's kind of close to Springfield. So anyhow, hope everyone has had a great week. Hope you have a great weekend, and I will catch you later.
Remember, Trucker Tom is like Visa. He's everywhere you want to be.
Product reviews, restaurant reviews, photos, opinions, and more. Visit Trucker Tom's website at www.truckerphoto.com. You've been listening to Trucker Tom's podcast, and we'd love to hear what you have to say. All you have to do is send us an email to tom@truckerphoto.com.